Let's continue reading verses 1 through 6 of Romans chapter 7. Now, in this first section of Romans 7, we learn that Christians are free from the requirements of the law. Not lawless, but free to serve the Lord and not the law as a way of life. Romans 7, beginning of verse 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Once again, let's begin this section now with some background notes. The first five chapters of Romans were all about the justification of the believer. That is God's great plan of salvation, in which he declares the believer righteous. That's what it means to be justified, remember, to be declared righteous. Now, how is God able to do this? It's not by lowering his standards or by turning a blind eye to sin. No, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Now, God can be just and the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. Look back at Romans chapter 3, verse 26. That he, that is God, might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In justification, the believer is free from the penalty of sin. So Romans chapters 1 through 5 covers that subject. But now what about the power of sin? Even in the life of the believer, there can be the power of sin. Well, that's what Romans chapter 6 through 8 is all about. And this process is called sanctification. So Romans 1 through 5 is the good news for the sinner, justification. Romans 6 through 8 is the good news for the saint, sanctification. Sanctification means to be made holy. And that process is going on all the time in the believer's life. Philippians 1:6. He who has, that is God, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, we learn about the great truth of our union with Christ. Because we accepted Christ as our Savior, God now sees us in Christ. This is our spiritual position. God sees us as so identified with Christ that he sees us as having died with Christ and having risen with Christ. We've died to sin, and now we have new life in Christ. Now, when we realize this truth and reckon it to be true, and as a result, yield our bodies to the service of the Lord in righteousness, then we really can be free from the power of sin. But we must yield to righteousness. We can't set aside certain hours of the day for sin and then certain hours for righteous living. We will never, never have victory over sin in that way. We must starve the flesh and not watch things and not read things and not do things which lead to sinful thoughts and actions. We overcome these temptations by staying involved and staying active in activities that are pleasing to God. This is the key to freedom from the power of sin. Now comes an important question. Now, where does the law, the Mosaic law, God's law, where does the law fit in all of this? That is a good and logical question. And the Apostle Paul anticipated that question. That then leads us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first section of Romans chapter 7. So doctrinal point number one, the believer has died with Christ and is therefore free from the law. The believer has died with Christ and is therefore free from the law. Verse 1, or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now the subject of the believer's relationship to the law began back in chapter 6, verse 14. Let me read that. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And then you see verses 15 through 23 was like a parenthesis to answer the question, well, if we're not under law, but under grace, then why be concerned about sin in the life of the believer? So that question was answered. And now we're back to the question of the law. What does it mean that we're not under the law? Does that mean that we're lawless? No. Does it mean that we can do whatever we want? No. Does it mean we throw the Ten Commandments out the window? No. The point that Paul is driving at here is that in Christ, the law is not the rule of life for the believer. Under grace, the rule of life for the believer is not law, but love. Even though the law is good and was given by God, the rule of life for the believer is not to try to keep the law, but rather to serve the Lord in love, and as a result, bear fruit to God. Verse 4, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Now that phrase there, dead to the law through the body of Christ, means dead to the law through the death of Christ on the cross. All right, now in order to prove his point that the believer is not under the law, and that the law should not be the rule of life for the believer, Paul gives three reasons here in chapter 7. The first reason is here in the first six verses that we've just read. Death has separated us from the law. Question: does the Lord Jesus Christ have to keep the law today? Answer: of course not. The Lord Jesus died to the law. When Christ died, he met all the righteous claims of the law and therefore is free from the law. And we too are free from the law because we died with Christ and we've been raised with Christ. This is our spiritual position. Christ is our representative. We are in Christ. So we are free from the law. Now an illustration is used of marriage in verses 2 and 3. Let's read those verses again. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Do you see the illustration? Before we were saved, we were married to the law, as it were. The law had claims on us. We were bound to the law. But death has come in and broken that tie to the law. Now notice, the law has not died. The believer has died with Christ. And therefore, we are free from the law. And we are now married to Christ so that we can serve in love. And that leads us then to our second doctrinal point. The believer has risen with Christ and is therefore free to serve in love. The believer has risen with Christ and is therefore free to serve in love. Verse 4, once again. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. And verse 6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Illustration. Indentured servants. That ring a bell? Back in colonial times, many immigrants to this country, in order to get money to make the trip to America, would agree to become servants or slaves for 4 to 7 years. As servants, they had to perform certain duties and keep certain rules. When their time of service was up, many of them stayed on and became more or less a part of the family. Now they did the same duties and kept the same rules, but now they served in newness of spirit, not in oldness of the letter. You see the illustration? Verse 6 once again. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. And this is possible because we have new life in Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The believer has risen with Christ and is therefore free to serve and love. Practical application. Don't try to keep the law. Don't try to keep the law. Wait a minute, you say, that sounds heretical, doesn't it? Don't try to keep the law. The point, as we've seen here, is not that we are lawless or throw the Ten Commandments out the window and do whatever we please. No. The point here is that we don't make keeping the law our aim and goal in life. As believers, our focus is to serve the Lord in love and bear fruit to God. Verse 4, once again, that we should bear fruit to God. We are the bride of Christ. Our focus is not law keeping, but love for our Savior. If we try to keep the law in our own strength, we will fail just as much as when we were unbelievers and tried to do what was right. You see, it's like trying to pick yourself up off the floor by pulling on your own shoelaces. You ever try that? It doesn't work, right? The flesh cannot pick up the flesh, even in the Christian life. Verse 5 once again. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Now, while that's in reference to our lives before we became Christians, the same is true in the Christian life if you try to please God in the flesh. Can't do it. Won't work. Illustration. A little girl is riding her tricycle along the sidewalk past a large estate. There is a sign on the lawn: keep off the grass. She pauses, and then she does what we all did as kids. The sinful nature is aroused, and we ride on the grass just a little bit, just to show that we can do it. There's the law at work. But there's more to the illustration. The little girl grows up and falls in love with the son of the estate owner. To make a long story short, they get married, and now she lives in the estate as part of the family. Now she doesn't keep off the grass because of the law. Out of love, she automatically keeps the rules of the estate. Do you see it? As Christians, we serve out of love. That's our focus. We don't try to keep the law. We are free from the law. So don't try to keep the law.